Daf is daf lamed dalet. Let's take it 4 lines down. The Gemara says itmar lul pasuach min abayis lalil. Let's say there's a little lul, a little entryway, a little tunnel almost from the attic until the house. And my sister, they have a little picture over here. So you have a way like stairwell, and there's a entrance into the lamed dalet min alf. No, 4 lines down. So there's a lul going from the attic, the house, the attic. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, im yesh lo pesach echad, chay mezuzah." Achas, if there's one entranceway, so then there's a chiv. So let's say, for example, you have look at how Rashi explains. Rashi is 2 lines down. Lula pasuach min abayis la'aliyah, zed darchan aruva be'em tzaliyah. There's a aruva, like a little window from the attic to get downstairs to the main floor. Va'olun la min abayis b'ma'alos, you go up on stairs or ladders from the bottom floor to the top floor. You make walls around it, so it's like a tunnel almost as you walk up the stairs. So it's covered on all end. So you don't want the guy living in the house, a family upstairs, to go downstairs and barge in and invade the privacy of the bottom floor. So when you come down the stairs, there's a door to come out, and you have to like knock to get to the main floor. And you make an entranceway with the walls around it. And that's what the Bnei Aliyah do as well. When the people come up the stairs, when you get to the landing on top, there'd be also like a little room that you walk into, and you have to knock to enter into the second floor. So this is the structure. So the Gemara again says, if there's one Pesach, let's say there's only Pesach when you come down the stairs, not on the up, so the bottom requires a mezuzah. And then Yeshlo Beis Pesach, if there are 2 entranceways, meaning there's one Pesach on the bottom and there's one Pesach on the top, so then of course, Allah would be Chai B'Shem Mezuzos, you require 2 mezuzahs, one on the top and one on the bottom. So Amar Papa explains, Shema Mina Midi Rav Huna, we learn from Rav Huna, Chai in Daruna, Deishle Arba Bave, Chai Ba'arba Mezuzos. So you have this type of structure. Rashi doesn't explain what this is exactly. I don't know what they have a picture here. Actually, they don't have a picture. They have some type of room that has 4 different walls to it, like the the Avram's tent. So you have one room and 4 different entrances. The halacha is your chayv in all 4 mezuzos. Where's the pshita? Of course, if I had a room here, there's one entrance way with there. But let's say they open a pesach there and a pesach here and a pesach here. So of course, all 4 would require a mezuzah. What's a chiddush here? Gemara says Latzrich has only needed in a case the afogav deroga bechad. Even though you only regularly use one, and the other 3 are simply there for design, but since they are accessible if wanted, so then one would be high to put a mezuzah. Sometimes people have in their house, these fancy windows that open up into doors, but there's no real doors there because there's nowhere to go. That wouldn't require. That's not considered a doorway. It has to be a doorway that's actually accessible. But even though you don't use it, but if as long as it's a usable doorway, it's required to have a mezuzah. Amar now says around 10 lines down from the top here, Amar Amemar. Hai pischa da karna chai b'mezuzah. That entranceway that's at the corner, you're chai b'mezuzah. Rashi explains it's Karen Zavis. So let's say Mamish at the corner, you have a entranceway like that, you're chai b'mezuzah. That picture here, how much of you have it in the art schools as well, you're chai b'mezuzah. Perhaps it seems to be an obvious case here. Perhaps the chiddush is because when it comes to Erevin, you cannot make a Tzuras HaPesach on a corner. For the Tzuras HaPesach has to be on a side, that can't be a corner. Maybe there would have been a thought that you don't require mezuzah on a Pesach b'keren zavis. So the Gemara then says, Amar le Rav Ashi la meimar v'hal les le p'timim. There are no p'timim, there are no doorposts. And one of the requirements of a mezuzah is having a doorpost. So Gemara says, Amar le Ede p'timim. Rashi says, they are psimim. When the walls come this way and they end, that serves as the doorpost. Even though there's no molding as the doorpost, the fact that the walls end there and create a doorpost, that entranceway, that's sufficient to be a doorway and chayiv mezuzah, rather a doorpost and chayiv mezuzah. There a papa, ikle li bei Mar Shmuel. One time he visited the house of Mar Shmuel. He saw they only had one doorpost, mismala. The left side had a doorpost, but not the right side. He put a mezuzah up. So there's a question which side they put the mezuzah on. They put it on the left side, they put it on the right side. But seemingly put it on the right side. Even though the right side didn't have a post, only the left side had a post. But that's what he observed. So Amalei, Kiman, who does this hold like? Rabbi Meir. The Eimah, so Rabbi Meir holds this way. If it has one doorpost, that's enough to make it chayv and mezuzah. So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Ema the Amar Rabbi Meir Miyamin. That's only true if there's a doorpost on the right side. But Mismol Mi Amar, would you say that if the one doorpost was on the left side and the right side was flat? Let's say you have cases. They have pictures here also. I don't know if you have it. But if let's say the right, you know, let's say you have a wall going this way, and then you have a two pesach like that. So only on the left side is there a doorpost. But here's all flat wall here. So the right side has no doorpost, but the left side has a doorpost here. So would Rabbi Meir say if the one doorpost is on the left, would that require a mezuzah? So the Gemara says, Mahi, what's the, where do we find the din of Rabbi Meir and the requirement of the right? So the Gemara explains the Tani. The Braisa tells us based on the Pasuk, it says, Uchsaptim amezuz beisech uvisharech. What does beisech mean? Biyascha min hayamim. That when you come in, the mezuzah should be on biyascha, when you enter into the house, which is always you enter into the right side. What does it mean you enter into the right side? You think it should be on the right side when you walk in. Maybe it should really only be on the left side. What exactly is a drasha from Beischa? When a person walks, he always walks on his right foot first. Unless you're a lefty, most people take their right foot as a first step. And people also always look to the right side. Anyone in marketing would know that. They always look to the right side. That's catching people's eyes. So since you walk and you step first in the right foot, so the mezuzah should be there on the right side, and on the left side, derech biyascha. So that's how we know the right side is where you place the mezuzah. Where do you find the shita? The Gemara says further now, another raya for this, that's supposed to be on the right side. Rav Shmuel bar Acha, kame di Rav Papa, mishmei di Rava, bar Ula, amar mehacha. He brings a different pasuk, a pasuk that appears in Malachim Beis. Vayikach Yehoyada, koin Aron Echad, he took a Aron, he took a certain a closet of some sort, of a box. Vayikov Chor Bedalto, he placed a hole in the door. Vayitain also ate some Mizbech, he placed it next to the Mizbech. Miyam in the right side of the Mizbech. Bevo Ish Bebeis Hashem. A person comes into Beis Hashem. Vinasnu Shama Koanim Shomer Asaf, it's called Kesef Hamuva Bebeis Hashem. There they stored all the silver. So why do they put it on the right side? Because again, the right side is a natural place a person turns to. So these are two different sources that we have, that the right side is the ikur when it comes to mezuzah. But now the Gemara wants to know, my Rabbi Meir, where do we find the Rabbi Meir says it's enough to simply have one doorpost, you don't need two doorposts? So the Gemara quotes a braisa at the Tanya. Bais she'ein lo ela pitam echad, if it only has one doorpost, Rabbi Meir is mechay b'mezuzah v'chacham potim. So this is a machlokas. But this is where we see the shita of Rabbi Meir, that one doorpost is sufficient to mechay b'mezuzah.
How do you know that's a right side?
Because since we said above that there's only a din, the right side is always the ikker, so then put the two together, we'd have that the one doorpost would have to be on the right side. So then the Gemara says, my time at the Rabban. Why do the Rabban hold that it's potter if there's only one doorpost? Gemara explains, mezuzos ksiv, it's written mezuzos, it's double, you have to have two doorposts to be chayv in a mezuzah. So then what's the reason, my time with Rabbi Meir, why does he think one doorpost is sufficient to be mechayv in a mezuzah? The Tanya, the Braisa tells us, mezuzos shemeani miyot mezuzos shtayim. When you hear the word mezuzos, it's plural, that implies at least two. So then the least amount would be two. Shtayim, why does it say that implies shtayim? So then, Kishu Omer Mezuzah, when it says Mezuzah in another pasuk we have in Shema, the Parsha Shni, the second pasuk, Shein Tam Alomer, why did you tell me that? We already know Mezuzah, that you have to have two door posts to put on a Mezuzah. Why does it repeat the concept of Mezuzah in the next Parsha? So Gemara says, it must be have a Riboy, Acha Riboy, it's a double Riboy, it's like a double negative becomes a positive, so or opposite really, double positive becomes a negative almost. The Riboy, Acha Riboy, then Riboy, Acha Riboy, El Elamai, we have when there are two Riboys in a row, it actually comes to do the opposite, and it negates. And therefore, me'ata akasiv le'mezuzah achas divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So since it repeats mezuzahs twice in the pasuk, it tells that actually it should be one mezuzah would be chayiv in mezuzah if there's only one doorpost, and that's the understanding of Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva comes along and says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, ey no tzarech, you don't need to teach me that din from that drasha, riboy achar riboy. Why? Kishu Omer, when it says, when it comes to Karban Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim, it says in the pasuk, "Al mashkof al shei mezuzas." You're supposed to rub the blood on the mashkof, on the lintel, and the two doorposts. Shein tam alomer shtei. Why does it say shtei mezuzas in the pasuk? It should say al mashkof al mezuzos. I would know mezuzas means two. Why does it say shtei mezuzos? Ma tam alomer shtei. So Rabbi Kiva explains, "Zeh bana'av." This serves as a principle that kol makom shenemar mezuzos, eino el achas Ad shiver lecha kasev shayim. The fact that the pasuk by Pesach Mitzrayim had to say shtei mezuzos tells me, had it not said shtei, I would have thought mezuzos, even though it's in the plural, it would have meant in the singular. So it tells me shtei, that whenever you want to imply two, has to say shtei mezuzos. And going back to our pasuk in Shema by mezuzos of Ksavta mezuzos Pesecha, since it doesn't say shtei, it's enough to have just one doorpost to be chayiv in mezuzos. So there are two opinions, Rabbi Ki, Rabbi Shmuel, as to how to explain Shita's Rabbi Meir, why one mezuzah is enough to be chayiv in mezuzah, but Chacham hold you need two mezuzahs. Okay, so then the Gemara, so in the end, what happens is, if a person, let's say, the whole Lach Lamaisa, what comes from all this, so Rabbi Meir would require a mezuzah only if the right side had the doorpost. But if it were to be a case where the left side had a doorpost and the right side was completely flat, even Rabbi Meir would agree that it would be pater in a mezuzah. And that's how he passed in a Lach Lamaisa. Okay, there's a Shaila. What happens if there's only on the doorpost on the right side, not the left side? So then what are you supposed to do? We pass on the Rebbe Meir, not Chachamim. I believe it's Machlokas, Rush, and other poskim. We say, I believe, we pass on to put a mezuzah on if there's only one doorpost on the right, but we don't say a bracha in that case. Okay, the Gemara now says around six wide lines down, the last word, Tanur Rabbanim. Tanur Rabbanim, you should write on the mezuzah, Yachol Yichatfenu Al Avanim. One may think you should write directly on the wall, directly on the doorpost, on the rocks. Not to place in a cloth and into a cover and a case. Rather, directly write the psukim shema on the wall of the mezuzah. So Gemara says, can't be. Nemar kan ksiva. It says kan by the mezuzah, the word ksiva. But nemar lahalan says later on, ksiva. Where's lahalan? So the pasuk is referring to the cost of, let's say, for krisis v'nasim b'yad, referring to a get. So it says ksiva by get. So Gemara learns, ma lahalan ala sefer, afkan ala sefer. Just like there, the get has to be ala sefer, as the pasuk says, because of la sefer krisos, so too by the gzer shava mezuzah as well. It's just interesting that get is being used as this model for a mezuzah. Okay, so then the Gemara says, maybe you should learn a different direction. Nemar kan ksiva, it says by mezuzah the word ksiva, but nemar lahalan ksiva, says ksiva later on as well. Where's later on? It says when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu writing the Sefer Torah, it says v'kosafta al ha'avanim es kol divrei ha'Torah hazos be'er hetev. He wrote the entire Torah in the 70 languages on stone. So now maybe we should learn from that pasuk, says the Gemara. Malah halan, just like the ksiva be'er hetev is al ha'avanim, was directly on the rocks, afkan, so to hear by the mezuzah should perhaps be al ha'avanim, on the rocks, on the wall directly. So Gemara says, which are you going to compare it to? Is it better to compare it to, say, for krisis of get, or is it better to compare it to the avanim of Be'er Hetev? So Gemara says, nir lemidom. And which one is it more similar to? Donin ksiva hanoheges ladaris, miksiva hanoheges ladaris. It's more appropriate to learn something that's practiced for generations, the mezuzah, from something else that's practiced for generations, namely the get. Vein donin ksiva hanoheges ladaris, miksiva hansha'en hanoheges ladaris, as opposed to using a model of the Be'er Hetev, which was only a one-time event, and therefore not good as a model for ksivas mezuzah. And Gemara then says, "Ukmoshin emar lahan." Like it says later on, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Says, "Vayomer lahem baruch mipiv yikra Elias kol adam ha'ilav ani kosev al ha'sefer badio." That you write in the sefer badio, meaning the lashon uksiva is referring to on paper and on ink.
How did you know? How do we know that nemar kan ksiva, nemar lahan ksiva? How did we know that was referring to get?
Rashi had a masar, I guess. I don't know. Gemara doesn't tell us that, but Rashi understood that. Okay, look at Rashi just for a second, around eight narrow lines up. Shenemar lahalan. This is what we learn from the pasuk of Yirmiyahu. Kolomer v'tzarch lichtov b'diyo bein b'mezuzos bein b'get k'mo shenemar b'piv yikar Eli. He uses as a source that you should be using ink as well. Okay, so look at Tosa. Tosa says k'ma shenemar lahalan. Tosa writes perish b'kuntris kolomer v'tzarch lichtov b'diyo bein b'mezuzos bein b'get k'ma shenemar lahalan. And Tosa says v'tema. Gedola perusho deha machshin get besikur besam. So dio usually means black ink, but the Gemara in Gittin tells that there are other types of inks can be used, and dio would not be not limited to dio. I understood Rashi referring to dio as just the generic type, but the different types of dios. Tosa understood Rashi means dio is a very specific type. I thought dio is ink. There's this ink. There's that ink. I don't see it being a seer, but that's how Tosa understood Shita's Rashi.
Tosa before says that it's not referring to yogas and Rashi. He says it's referring to sota. Not to get.
Oh yes, look at Tosa before. Let's take a look. Very good. Nemar kan ksiva, nemar lahan ksiva. Tosa quotes perisha kuntris. Rashi is a gave get dechsev v'chasav la sever krisis. V'kasher. Dotnan al shazayis val keren shalpara kosvin. You'll have to write on a olive leaf, or you can write on a horn of a cow. the Tekamar Sefer L'Svir Dvarim, anything that can be read. V'nir al-Farish, the Darsh Miksiva de Parsha Sota. Very good. Tos says, no, the get is in the source, it's learned from Sota. O Miksiva de Mishnah Torah, perhaps from this week's Parsha, actually. Mishnah Torah, oh, no, sorry, the Shoftim, those are for the Hakel. The Mishnah Torah of the Melech, Kosev de Chsiva Kosalas Mishnah Torah, Hazol Sefer, Vainu Noag Ledora. So perhaps, very good. So the Gemara doesn't tell us where the first Ksiva is learned from. It could be learned either from Sota, which is also Noheges Ledoros, or from the Melech, which is also Noheges Ledoros. And Tosus concludes saying, Bim Tomer Adrava Nailth Meget, why not learn from Get? What's wrong with learning from Get? Why do you have to learn other sources? Because there's a mitzvah. As opposed to the Get, there's not a mitzvah. Now, that's not really true. The Get is a mitzvah. We count Get as a mitzvah. It may not be a positive type of thing, but still it's considered a mitzvah. One who does give a Get is fulfilling a mitzvah when one's supposed to give a Get. Okay, either way, interesting, very good point. But Ezra, it is unclear from the Gemara where the source is, so it could be any of these three sources. So then the Gemara says around nine lines up, the end of the line, Amar le Rav Acha Bere de Rav, Rav Ashi, Rachmana Amar Am Mezuzos, Vat Amar Nelef, Ksiva Ksiva. So the Pasuk says Am Mezuzos, tells like Al Mezuzos, it says, if you read the Pasuk literally, it should be Uchsaftim Am Mezuzos. We call Mezuzah the clav, it's not really true. Mezuzah means the doorpost. So the Pasuk says you should write on the doorpost. And now you're telling me you're supposed to write it based on the Gzer Shava is going to be Oker, the Pashas of the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Uchsaftem, Ksiva Tama, V'hada Amar, Hader Al Mezuzos. It says two things. Uchsaftem is a standalone word. You're supposed to first write it. And then after writing it, then you put it on the mezuzos, on the doorpost. Rashi explains three lines up. Ksiva Tama, Rashi says, V'ein Ksiva Tama Al Ha'etzim V'abanim Ela Al Ha'sefer. I don't know why that is. But Rashi says it's only considered a complete writing if it's going to be done on a piece of paper. Writing it on wood or writing it on stone won't be considered ksiva tama. So I'm not sure why that is, though. Rashi, look at Tosus, the last line of Tosus here. He says, Lefish eino miskayemes. It doesn't last forever. Wood gets shaved off. Stone also gets, I guess, I don't know. I would imagine stone is more lasting than that on ink on paper, but that's the Indian. It doesn't last for long. It's not considered ksiva tama.
Used to chisel in on the stone of the Kotel Ravi.
It did, yeah.
Names. If you look at the old pictures, you'll see that there's names chiseled in. Now interesting. You look at all,
okay, very good. So I guess apparently the ink and paper lasts longer than that on stone and wood. Okay, so therefore you need ksiva tama, and then only after ksiva tama, then it's al mezuzos. And that's how we learn on a paper, you place it onto the doorpost. So then the Gemara asks, me'acha de ksiva ksaftam. So now we've established the word ksaftam itself indicates you should write on something that's everlasting, namely in paper. So then the question becomes, hi gzeir shava lamali, why do you need to learn gzeir shava from Soto or from Get or from Sefer Torah? We know from the pasuk itself, ksaftam has to be on paper. So Gemara says, ilav gzeir shava, had we not had the gzeir shava ksiva ksiva, I would have thought lichtave avana v'likva asif. I would maybe perhaps write on the stone and then be koveh on the wall. Kamash on that's not the case. Now we just said before Rashi says lichtave avana yichakeka besakin al avanim to have ksiva tamam. I guess havamina was to write ink on stone. That's probably the havamina. Writing ink on stone that doesn't last long as opposed to ink on parchment. Now the Havim means maybe you should etch it in stone, which is considered ksiva tama, against what you're saying, Ezra, but it would be more lasting on the stone, and maybe you should then place it onto the wall. Kamash Milan, that no, we need a ksiva tama on paper, and then we hang it onto the doorpost. Gemara now says, last four lines of the Amud here, Arba Parshil Shibat Tfilin Me'akva Zuadzu, V'afilu Kasav Echad Me'akvam. We know that you need all four parshas of Tfilin, and missing one, or even missing a letter, would be make it possible. So Gemara said, Pshita, of course that would be the case. Why would you think otherwise? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo Nitzcha Ela Lekot Shayud, to tell us even the Kot Shayud, that little thing on top of the Yud, that little part that goes up high, even that, if it's missing in the Yud, is going to be Me'akev.
I saw before
the
Rav, there's a three-way Me'akot, this one,
Kot Shayud. Oh yeah, he did?
Yeah. He brings the Rush, Rashi, and...
I see here. There's opinions on either the bottom, the top left, or the left side, but the bottom of the left side of the Yud. Okay, very good. Okay.
Rashi says the bottom.
It's bottom right, bottom left, or top left.
Yeah. So the Gemara then says, so three, okay, very good. Come to Shiud, the Pashup shot was always the top left, but okay, very good. So Gemara then says... that's also obvious. It can't be missing that little piece of the Yud. Lo nitzach ela leidach to Yehuda, damar Yehuda marav kol ol shein gvil mukaf lo me'arba ruchosea. So telling us a different din, that any letter that's not completely surrounded by klaf, it's always a strange way to say this. The easier way to say it, if it's any letter that's not attached to something else, it has to be detached. Each letter has to stand on its own, which means it's completely surrounded by white. So that's going to be, if it's not surrounded by the mukav kvil, then it's going to be pasul. That's what we're learning from this Mishnah. Okay. Gemara now says at the very top of Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanu. It says in the pasuk a couple of times, the totafos, hare kan arba divrei Rabbi Shmo. How do you get four? It only said three times. So the Mefarshim explain, it says the word the totafos twice chaser, meaning it's read, it's written as the totafas as singular, and once is the totafos with a ekshavav or a male, so that gives you a total of four. Again, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, that's his understanding. They have to write four separate parshas and four separate batim, says Rashi. Rabbi Kiva, as Rashi quotes al Torah, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarch, you don't need this drasha of Lototafos. Rather, the word itself, Lototafos, implies that because Tat, Bekasve, Shaim, in some language it means two, and Pas, Be Afriki, is Shaim, in African is two. So, for some reason, the word Lototafos is very strange. Of all places, this is where we have like two different languages, foreign languages come together, and there must be some Panemius there as well. But the word itself means, in this very strange way, means four. He agrees in the din that there are four different parshas and four different batim, but he argues how to get there. So Gemara now says three lines down, Taner Rabbanan, Yochel, Yichtavei Maldal Oros. Perhaps one may think you should write them in four different parchments. V'yanichem Bedal Batim, in four different houses, Bedal Oros. Which means, Rashi says here, Aldal Oros, Dal Chatichas Klaf, four pieces of parchment. So we know the batim, the sharosh, is really one piece of leather that has like little, they etched in little lines in it, but it's really one. How I mean is perhaps you should put in four different compartments, four different separate houses, and then maybe link them together afterwards. So the Gemara says, Tamalomar Uli Zikaron. The Pasuk says to tell us that's supposed to put them all on Bein Nechel Zichron Echad Amarti Lchav Lo Beiz. The Gimel Zichron. It's supposed to remind us, and one Zichron, and not multiple Zichronos. So therefore, it's in one box. Okay, so how do you do this? Kosvan al dal oros, write in four different parchments, and then manichin bedal batim bo'or echad, in four different compartments, but within one leather. All comes from one leather. The whole bias comes from one leather, but there are four compartments in the leather. I don't know if you've ever seen the inside of how it works, but it's one leather. They have like four, they make little holes, like little cavities into the one bias, and then you stick in the parchment separately in the sherosh. Oh, they have one there. Oh. Oh, beautiful. Okay, very good. So one leather, but they have different holes in them. Okay. I don't have that. All right. So then the Gemara says, V'im kasvan bo'or echa, let's write them all for the sharosh, all four parshas on one parchment, and then v'nichan bada batim, and you put them in four different compartments. Yotze, one will be yotze. V'tzarach shehe revach b'neim divrei rebi. You have to have a certain space in between. So look at Rashi. Rashi explains what's going on here. Four narrow lines down or so, im kasrim bo echad, shasa or echad v'kasra bodal partial, so you have one big parchment, write all four partials on that same parchment, v'nichan bedal batim shal or echad kama k'mashi parashin, then you place them in the fourth, I guess you probably tear them up, or maybe you, okay, it sounds like here you have them connected in the bottom here, but you have a little torn on top, whereby you could separate, put them in the four compartments, but they're connected all in the bottom, you see this? They're still connected in the bottom there, but they're separate on top there. So you could still put them in the four compartments, but they're still connected on the top above the cavities. So that's what you're trying to accomplish here. So then the Gemara says, if you do this, so then you're Yote according to Divrei Rebbe. Then, Chacham Omer Me'eno Tzarach, you don't need to do all this. What do you mean you have to do all this? You don't need the space, that's what you're saying? You don't need the space here. You don't need the space at all. And then the Gemara says, the Shavan, they both agree, Shenosein Chut O Mesicha Ben Kalachas V'achas, you have some type of a string between each compartment. V'eim Charitza Nikar Psulos. Rashi explains here, Shenosein Chut O Mesicha Ben Kalbais V'bais, you place some type of a string or thread between each compartment. If you don't recognize on the outside these compartments, then it's going to be possible. So let's say you make the compartments inside. We have the holes inside the tefillin shorosh. You have little sections here, but you only recognize on the inside that they're separate compartments. But on the outside, you don't have those little etches going on the outside of the shorosh. So it looks like it's a shayad, all one. Then that would be considered possible. So you need, in other words, you need the four cavities on the inside. You also need the four batim on the outside as well. So it's recognized bein bifnim, bein mibuchutz. Sorry?
In other words, it's four separate compartments.
If it's not recognizable on the outside, that's going to be possible as well. Then the Gemara says around halfway down the Amud Tanur Rabbanan, Bryce tells us that Ketad, how do you write? Kosvan Tfilin Shayad. Kosval Orechad. You write the Tfilin Shayad, we know it's all one parchment, all one compartment. You write all in one parchment. Vim Kasab Arba Oros Vinicha Bebeis Echad Yatzah. If you do write them in four separate partials and put it into one compartment, into one bias, you're Yotze the mitzvah of Tfilin Shayad. The Tzarech Ledabik, but you have to. You have to glue them together in such a way where even though you wrote them in four parchments, if they're stuck together now, that's necessary. Shin Emar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayu l'chala os ayatcha, has to be to you on your hand. K'shem she'os echad achas mibuchot, just like on the outside, it's one box. It's all smooth, as we know. The shayad is smooth. It's all one os. Kach os achas mibifnim, has to be all connected on the inside. So meaning that even though you did the ksiva on separate pieces of parchment, you have to connect it together to be os echad, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarech, you don't need to do all this, even though it's not recognizable on the inside, it's sufficient. You don't need to glue it together. So Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Umo Deli Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi agrees to me, Shem Ein Lo Tfilin Shayad, V'yesh Lo Shtei Tfilin Shorosh, Shetola or Al Achas Men, Menicha. So he says, let's say a person doesn't have a Shayad, he has two Shoroshes. So what do you do? What's the Eitzah? Is you take another parchment, another piece of leather, and you place it on top of the Sharosh. And now it looks like it's one. It's all one box now, and you're covering up the Sharosh with a Shayad. Now you've turned your Sharosh into a Shayad. Meaning even though inside they had four different compartments, since on the outside it appears like one bias, that's sufficient. And Rabbi Yossi thinks that Rabbi Huda would agree to him. So Gemara says, Moda Hainu Pluksar, that's exactly what they're arguing about. He wouldn't agree in that case. They're arguing about a case of a Shayad. Everyone agrees the Shayad on the outside has to be very smooth. It has to be one bias on the outside. The very debate is, on the inside, are you allowed to have also four compartments or not? Chum said that the four compartments are actually going to be, Rabbi Yehuda rather held, that the four compartments of Shayad are possible. How could Rabbi Yossi say that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that four compartments inside would be kosher? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Midvar Shu Rabbi Yossi Chazer Bar Rabbi Yehuda. No, once Rabbi Yehuda heard the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, he actually was chose, retracted, and he agreed to Rabbi Yossi. Gemara says, "Ani, is this really true? You're allowed to do this?" V'hashalach Rav Chananya Mishrei Rabbi Yochanan Tefila Shayad Osnos Al Sharosh. You're allowed to take a Tefillin Shayad and turn it into Tefillin Sharosh, but Sharosh ain't Osnos Al Shayad. But you can't turn a Sharosh into a Shayad. How can you take the Sharosh and cover it up with one piece of leather and turn it into a Shayad? Why can't you? You can't go from a higher level Kedusha to a lower level Kedusha. What makes Sharosh a higher level Kedusha? And look at Rashi, the last narrow line. It's two dots. There's no bold there. But Rashi writes, Tfilin Sharosh is Chamura Kedushasa Sharuba Shal Shakai Nase B'Sharosh Shin Dalin. Because we know Shin Dal Yud, the name of Hashem, is spelled out in the Tefillin Sharosh and Shayad together. So on the Sharosh has the Shin and has the Dal in the back and the Nah in the back. So that's two of the letters. The Yud is next to Tefillin Shayad where you tie the Nah. So since two of the three letters on the Sharosh, that makes the Sharosh more Chamer than the Shayad. So you can't turn a Sharosh into Shayad by covering it up with a piece of leather. The Gemara says, Lokasha, there is no problem here. Ha batikasa, ha bechadasa. Depends whether it's a brand new or an old Tefillin Sharosh. Meaning what? If the Sharosh is old, where it's already been used as Sharosh, so then you're right, you can transform it into a Shayad. If it's brand new and it was never used before, even though it was perhaps designated as Tefillin Sharosh, if it was never used, it's Chadasi, then you are allowed to use it and change it into Tefillin Shayad. In the case above, it's talking about where it was never used before, and that's why you could change it to Shayad. Well, the man damer, the one who holds hasmana milsi, the one who holds that designating a loan is something significant. I mean, if you designate this as tefillin shel rosh, it becomes tefillin shel rosh even though you haven't used it. So then, what are you supposed to say? The Gemara says the asni alay meikara. When the person made it, even though he designated it as a sherosh, he said, "I'm making a tanai." If the person wants to use it as shelyad, he can use it as shelyad. Even the hasmana milsa would agree a tanai would be effective to prevent it from being a chalos of tefillin shel rosh.
So when you make the tanai.
When you are mazmin it, when I said I'm being mazmin, this as tefillin shel rosh, but on the condition that if one wants to use it as tefillin shel yad, yeah. So then the Gemara says the last six lines of the Amun here, Tanur Rabbanan, this is the source, the machlokus of tefillin shel Rashi and tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam. Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan, Ketad Sidran, what's the order of the way you write the tefillin? So Gemara says, Kadesh Liv, Hayak Kiviyacha, Miyamin, is that on the right side? And Shema Vayim Shema is on the left side, Mismo. And the way the Gemara says, that's tefillin shel Rashi, that order. Kadesh Liv, Hayak Kiviyacha, Shema Vayim Shema. So the Gemara says, "V'atan is b'raisa the opposite ipcha that really is supposed to be that Vayam Shemo Shema is on the right side, the Kadesh Liv Vayal Kiviyacha is on the left side." So Amar Rabbi Lokasha Kan Miyaminu Shakare Kan Miyaminu Shemaniach depends for whose perspective. If I'm wearing it, it's different to me than when you're reading it from the other side. It's all really a different perspective. It's all the same halacha. The Akare Kare Kisidram. The one who reads it in the order. So just look at Rashi here. Rashi says Hakare. Kari b'kisidra, on the last six lines of Rashi, five lines of Rashi, kisei the shen ksuv matorah, the way they're written in the Torah, mukta mukta m'mucha m'ucha, the way it's written, and v'hilkach haide katani leo kadesh v'ya kiviyacha miyamin miyamino shakari yakam, the one who's reading it. So we have kadesh comes up first in the Torah, then v'ya kiviyacha comes up next. The hasha kishu kari kidarko miyamino l'smala, he reads from right to left. V'nimsa kari kisidra, he reads it in the way it was written in the Torah. But how the fine. And then afterwards, we have Shema and Vayam Shemoa are in Veschar and Ekev, respectively. That's all in order. So Rashi holds like the simple reading of the Gemara here of reading it Kisidrum.
Meaning the person who's looking at you, the way he reads it, and the one who's wearing it.
Exactly, right. So the way the person reads it, that's how you put it in. The way you read it, looking at it, when you put it in, everything's supposed to be in the order. Vayak Kiviyacha, Ki Kadishli, Shema Vayam Shemoa.
Right, so let's put it. People look for it as opposed to the person wearing it.
Exactly. But then Tosafos has a problem. Tosafos says it's a very strange way. If it's really true, the way it's written in the Torah, the way it's here, it should have said, why is it saying first Kaddishli Hayak Yivyacha on the right side, and then Shema Vayam Shema on the left side? It's a very strange way to say it. It should just say Kaddishli Hayak Yivyacha Shema Vayam Shema. What's right and left doing here? And because of this, Rabbeinu Tam has a whole other pshat here. Look at Rabbeinu Tam, just the first wide line in Tosafos. Tosafos writes, Umefarsh Rabbeinu Tam Kadesh Vayakiviyacha Miyamin Shakore Umismol Shakore Havishma Mibachut Vachore Vayam Shema Mibifnim. I mean, he's not reading in order from right to left the whole way. He's first reading right to left inside, and he's reading from the left from Shema and Vayam Shema back inside. He's reading like a scroll. Let's say, for example, it's a strange way to do this though, but you have four columns here. So as opposed to Rashi says you read 1, 2, 3, 4 in order, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you first read 1, 2, and you read 4, 3. That means from the left side, you read from the outside, going back into the inside. And therefore, Shema Vayar in the opposite orders, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Otherwise, he doesn't have the same shot in the Gemara, why it says right versus left. And he goes on to explain a little bit further, but this is the source of Machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in terms of Tefillin. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.
I see why Rashi